Welcome to the show. I'm John Wheeler, and you're listening to episode 41 of This Week in Nuclear. This show was recorded on December 30th, 2006. Earlier this week, I had the opportunity to speak with Don Gillespie, the President and Chief Executive Officer of Alternate Energy Holdings Incorporated, the company that is planning to build a new nuclear plant near Bruno, Idaho. This is an unusual project and an interesting company for several reasons, and I'm happy to be able to share this interview with you. First off, the project is not typical of those planned by traditional utilities who are focusing on building a nuclear-powered electricity generating plant. Alternate Energy Holdings is planning a more innovative use of the energy they'll derive from the reactor. There are challenges, too, because they're planning to build a new reactor design on a new site, and they plan to use the energy in new ways, along with generating electricity. Next, the company is promoting a broader range of energy technologies, all of which will help reduce reliance on petroleum-based energy. Finally, Alternate Energy Holdings itself is a very different kind of company than those who typically enter the nuclear industry. I caught up with Don Gillespie on December 27th.
I'm speaking with Don Gillespie, the President and CEO of Alternate Energy Holdings Incorporated, a company that's promoting the development of clean energy sources, primarily nuclear. Don, welcome to This Week in Nuclear.
Thank you, John. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, thanks. Hope you're having a good holiday season.
I am. Thank you. I am.
The press has been focusing on the announcement that Alternate Energy Holdings plans to build a new nuclear plant in Idaho. What can you share with us about that project?
Very unusual project. A little bit about the company briefly, but the company was formed by a group of nuclear utility executives, most of us retired or semi-retired, who felt we could contribute somewhat with the energy issue here in the United States using our experience. And so we formed a small company roughly a year ago to see if we could find a place to build a new plant somewhere in the United States to help with that and some other projects as well. But that's the main objective. And we were approached by a gentleman who's actually a farmer through an agent who wants to build essentially a co-op in Idaho, provide power. They want to get power to a higher elevation than it's currently being provided from the Snake River.
That's irrigation water?
Yeah, irrigation for you know, it's semi-arid out there, pretty much desert, if you will. There is some tumbleweed growing, but not much, and without irrigation, nothing grows. The soil is fairly fertile, but it needs irrigation.
Okay.
So he attempted to get some power source to pump to this higher elevation, including trying to build a coal plant through the local utility. But the state put a moratorium on coal, and so it pretty much was stopped. So then he approached Westinghouse, I believe, to see if they could help build a nuke. And, of course, generally when you go to a nuclear steam supplier, they expect you to have the land and have the things all laid out. They're going to provide the reactor.
Right.
So he wasn't really able to do that. So he found a gentleman to help him find somebody, and they found us. Because we're a little bit unusual. We're not typical utility powering a certain region of the country or a certain state. We're willing to build one wherever it's needed and is wanted. So
yeah,
that's how we got involved in this. And right now we're looking at land in the Bruno area, again, about 40 to 50 miles southeast of Boise, Idaho, the biggest city in Idaho, the capital. And we're looking at aerial information, gathering information on the Snake River. And we have several ranches that we're considering that are for sale out there, good-sized ranches, along the river. And once we've done our preliminary studies, we hope to purchase one of those to be the site to start constructing this plant. Of course, there are a lot of things to go, a lot of approvals to get, state, local, certainly the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, all those sort of things.
Right.
A lot of hurdles.
Sure. And I've read some reports that say the plant would supply process heat for a biodiesel production facility. That's an interesting combination. How did that work?
We want to do something a little different. Again, mostly utilities want to provide provide electricity. That's our primary objective. We're really looking at providing energy and optimizing energy out of this plant. So we have been working with a consultant out in the area and talking with some ethanol producers. And we believe, because that's a good growing area with irrigation, that we'll be able to set up an ethanol plant and possibly a methane plant as well. And then there's a third possibility of depending on how far away it is to coal, to convert coal into diesel fuel. So there's a lot of excess energy that, as I think most know, come off a nuke plant that's really dissipated to the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Thermal heat. And we think that could be used, and maybe we end up with almost a tri-generation type plant versus just a single or even co.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty interesting idea, and I think that has a lot of merit, you know, when you consider the typical efficiency of a steam power plant with a nuclear reactor as the heat source. The waste heat is about 65 or 70% of the total heat output.
Roughly two-thirds, and it's a tremendous amount of heat in the size of the reactor we're talking about, 1,500 to 1,600 megawatt electrical.
Sure.
Which means it'll be about three times that size thermal.
Yeah.
And so it's a tremendous amount of heat that can be used positively. As you know, with ethanol, one of the challenges with ethanol is it takes so much energy to produce it that when the cost of oil gets low, it really doesn't become very effective to produce the stuff because you have to use so much energy. Currently, most people are using natural gas, which is pretty expensive fuel. We can, with this excess heat, we could almost cut the energy uses to little or nothing, which would make some of the cheapest ethanol, certainly in this country.
Yeah, that's a really fascinating combination. Have you gotten to the point where you've selected a reactor design for the site?
Well, we really have not. The two we're interested in have neither been completely approved by the NRC. And the reason we chose those, the one we like is the ESDWR is our first choice. It's a large plant. We like the safety features of it. We think that would be our first choice. The EPU plant would be probably second, again, because of its size versus a little more of a evolutionary reactor versus an advanced reactor. But it's a good size one as well that has gone through the NRC process all the way. So it may cause us to change what we choose based on how they're coming when we get to that decision point.
Yeah. One of the articles I read said that the construction was proposed to start in 2008. And that would be about a year or even 2 years ahead of other companies who have announced similar construction plans.
Well, really,
is that site characterization?
That's site characterization. We're in the queue or with the other plants, and the queue is quite long, as you may know, with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. It could be 3 to 4 years. And so that we're going to try to do the application of the all-in-one site and construction and operating license application, speed it as much as we can. But in a recent discussion with the NRC, it's a 3 or 4 year queue right now.
Okay.
Hopefully that'll speed up some, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll just be site characterization in that year. But we may be out, we may be talking about really not getting started until 2011 or 12 based on what we're hearing from the regulatory side right now.
Okay.
And then, of course, we have to keep into account that with the orders, that it could be a backlog on the supplier side as well.
You mentioned the water from the Snake River, and I'm not very familiar with the geology and the water supply of the region. Do you expect there to be water supply constraints for the plant?
Yeah, I think we'll have to use what I call a semi-arid or desert design, where we don't use the standard cooling towers and what we do in the east, where we have lots of water in the rivers. We'll have to do something with cooling ponds and things like you do, like they use at Palo Verde and some other plants around the world, where you can cut down the water uses pretty dramatically, down to 15-20% of what you would use in a typical cooling tower system. So that is a consideration. Snake River, like most of the rivers in the West, most of the water is committed. People say it's committed to 110%. I don't know if that to be true, but it is. It's committed. This one of the land we're looking at really has pretty heavy water rights that go back quite a few which you have to have to get here or get new approval for it. So we will, what we'll use will be a, will be the design that will use the least amount of water, which I think is the only way this is feasible on that river.
Right. Well, it's too bad it's not a few years down the road and some of the Generation 4 designs would be more available than they are today.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't want to put a curse on what we're doing here a little bit, but, you know, you never know about these things, how they can drag out and what can impact them. I hope those things don't happen. But if they do, they could, you know, have a negative and a positive, the negative being the drag out and the positive being the option to look at other designs, newer designs. I think Idaho has a similar challenge as some other western states that have, you know, been primarily hydro in the northwest. Now they have a decision of what else to build. They have not built any coal plants. They have partial ownership of coal plants in other states that they get power from. But right now they're a net importer of power, and that's going to affect the growth. So Idaho, I think, is in the top five in population growth in the United States.
Really? Wow, I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah, and of course, well, it's small, that's part of it, but the Boise area has become very popular, and people from California moving in there, and part of that is certainly part of the energy challenges of the companies leaving California.
Yeah.
Idaho is getting set up for the same problem if they don't come up with a decision. They did have a moratorium for 2 years on coal plants. I don't know if they're going to rethink that or not, but right now that's in place. So they need to provide some large-scale source. They're putting up some wind turbines, but it really is not meeting the base load challenge.
Right. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the company in general and some of the other projects you have in the works. Your website discusses the possibility of purchasing an existing nuclear plant and then adding a new reactor to that site.
Yeah, that was when we started this, we really thought that we did want to build a new plant, but we thought probably more than likely we'd be able to purchase an existing one and get siting to build a new one on that site. And that was the approach that we thought would be the most likely scenario. We did get a pre-approved loan to do that, and we've been out knocking on doors and writing letters to see if we could buy one. So far, we have not been able to do that, and that we thought would be the likely scenario. But I think the value of these things that have gone up dramatically, and there are fewer for sale than there were.
Yeah, and when you look at the Point Beach deal,
hold on tighter.
Right.
So we still think that could happen, but it's maybe a less likely scenario than we originally thought.
Yeah. Okay. You mentioned getting some capital. Who are your primary investors, and is there any way that small investors can support your new company?
Oh yeah. Well, we're publicly traded. We went public in September of this year. Our stock, I don't know, is trading around a dollar. I didn't look at it today, plus or minus. And so, yeah, you can buy stock. You can buy stock in the market, or you can buy it through a private placement memo directly from the company. We're working on an offering right now to help with these projects, our own offering. We went public through a reverse merger, so we have to have our own offering as well. And or you can, like I said, you can buy restricted stock directly from the company.
Okay.
But, yes, anybody can participate. The rest of the monies we will use will be, like most people do with these plants, they will be through loans.
Right.
And we have some partners that are interested, bigger companies that are involved in this that we're talking with. We haven't decided on those yet, but we think we'll certainly have maybe one or two partners as well coming down the road. But here's a great chance to get to buy stock in a nuclear generating company for a dollar a share. it doesn't happen every day.
That's very true. And it's somewhat of a unique company from the business plan and the opportunities that present themselves right now.
Yeah, well, we have other things. You've probably seen if you look on the website. We're looking at the possibility of converting coal into diesel fuel as part of the number of states in the West, and the federal government has mandated that diesel engines in those states and that are used by federal vehicles have to have alternate energy sources besides petroleum for their diesel fuel.
Yeah.
So biodiesel is one. We think coal, there's a lot of coal in this country, and that conversion is not really that difficult to do, and it burns pretty clean like biodiesel. So that's another idea we're working on. We have another one where we inject ethanol into natural gas, particularly for gas turbines, to reduce the amount of energy. Ethanol is quite high in energy and will help reduce the cost of the natural gas burning in the gas turbine.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most interesting one that strikes most people's fancy is either think we're either Ben Franklin or we're crazy, is the lightning into electricity. I came in contact with an Israeli engineer about working on this project for about 22 years, and we now have a patent application working on it to actually take lightning through a technique, capture it, at least capture part of it, and convert it into electricity to put on the grid.
Yeah, that's pretty. That is really fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I'm a double E by degree. When I first heard about this, I thought the guy was smoking something, frankly. But when I looked into it in a little more detail, it looks like it could work. The Department of Defense actually offered a nice chunk of money to this gentleman to sell the patent to him, or at least the pending patent. But he wouldn't do it because he wanted to be used for something positive, not for a weapon, which is what he thought it might be used for.
That's interesting that request came from Department of Defense rather than Department of Energy.
Yeah. Yeah, it came from Department of Defense, right. And so that's what he said. No, I'm not. If it was Department of Energy, he might have sold it.
Yeah.
But the Department of Defense, he chose not to.
What can you tell us about the Urban Mini Reactor?
Well, that's our newest idea. As you probably know, certainly from the history of this business, that back in the 50s and the 60s, we had all kind of ideas for reactors, you know, to fly planes, drive tanks, and of course, we wouldn't have a space program without mini reactors or mini sources, because they're needed for the long-term power usage. If the country can get back to seeing the value of these, and I think we're getting close to building new ones, why can't we take these small ones that we had under development back in the 50s and 60s and bring them back, and including powering your own farm, ranch, home, whatever. And it wouldn't take a very big source, as you would know, and it's pretty easy to contain. And it's a long-term power source without a whole lot of energy costs outside of the initial start. We're looking at that idea and seeing what the interest might be. Maybe not here, might be in third world countries or other places that they use these first.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I thought. That would be an opportunity for areas where the transmission distribution system is not well developed or constrained, and the load is relatively small.
And we have you know, a lot of third world countries that is the case, and where these things can be brought in pretty easily, and they're not heavy, they're not big, and can be set up. And even remote ranches in the West, when you go in the West and see how far things are apart, you could even see how this could come in handy in a ranch setting in the West. Most of these ideas really aren't new. I mean, just the for example, the coal into diesel fuel, I guess you probably know who did that first, right?
Sure.
It's right. Hitler.
Right.
And he did it out of necessity. And that's one of the things we did at the end of the war when we slowed his machinery down. There were 8 processing plants, if I recall from my history, in Germany that we bombed 6 of them into oblivion and damaged the other 2 and pretty much cut off his fuel. And those plants were converting coal into diesel fuel for his planes and tanks, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just bringing back really some old ideas here.
Well, it's, you know.
It seemed to make some sense.
Some old ideas and some new ideas. But
Yeah, a little mixture, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this has been a fascinating discussion, Don. I really appreciate you for coming in and joining me on This Week in Nuclear. I can understand now why Alternate Energy Holdings is getting so much positive press.
Well, we're a bunch of old guys having fun, and we might even make some money and might even help with the energy problem, and if all that works, that's good too.
That's great. Yeah, I wish you and the company well.
Okay, John. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for joining me, and we'll hope to talk to you again sometime.
Will do.
All right.
Take care.
Have a good day.
Happy New Year.
Thanks.
Again, that was Don Gillespie, the President and Chief Executive Officer of Alternate Energy Holdings Incorporated, a company that I'll definitely be following, and I'll report back to you in the future on the progress they're making in building that new reactor in Idaho. It'll also be interesting to follow the developments in their Urban Mini Reactor. I hope you enjoyed this episode of This Week in Nuclear. This is a milestone of sorts for me. This show marks the end of my first year of podcasting and producing This Week in Nuclear. This has been a truly rewarding experience, and I've learned a great deal about many, many topics, made new friends all over the world, and I've had a ton of fun while doing it. I want to thank all of you who have contributed to the show through your many suggestions, comments, letters, and emails. Please keep them coming, because that's the kind of interactivity that makes podcasting unique. In just a year, the show has grown to more than 1,250 regular subscribers in more than 30 countries, and new listeners are subscribing all the time. In fact, in the last two or three weeks, new listeners have joined in from Indonesia, Singapore, Brazil, and Chile. Be sure to stop by the website at thisweekinnuclear.com, where you can search the show notes for keywords and phrases, listen to prior shows, and post comments on the blog. Thanks for listening. This is John Wheeler, and I'll see you next time on This Week in Nuclear. Happy New Year.